Good morning.
Home of the stars. Through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Rated G Radio. We've got a fun week this week. We're going to start it out with one of the hottest doctors in Hollywood. Dr. Ralph Mayer will be joining in just a moment. And he's going to be talking about all things Hollywood and keeping up with Ralph and so much more. Excited to have him on. But before we get started, I want to kind of give you the roadmap, like we always do, on what's going to be happening this week and what you are in store for. Today's Monday. Good Lord. I haven't had my first sip of coffee. On Tuesday's show, we've got author L.J. Sellers. She's coming back to the show live from Eugene, Oregon, to talk about her latest murder mystery whodunit, and that's live at 9 a.m. On Wednesday's show, we have Scott McCuskey with a skincare and wellness tea group called Ladara. He's out of Ohio, but the company's based in Phoenix. Scott's going to come on the line and share nutrition and health information with the listeners. So if you've been seeing my post lately, you know that I've been talking about it, but I can't wait to hear what Scott has to say. Thursday, we've got Rated LGBT Radio with my co-host Rob Watson. Who knows what's in store this week? And then on the Friday night dance party, Delia Rundlin with a world premiere of her new album called Speed Racer, and that's going to be at a special start time of 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, I always remind you that if you're a first-time listener or, you know, you just tune in every once in a while, which is totally cool, make sure to follow the show so you can get email or text updates anytime that you want, and that will keep you up to date on when the shows are coming up, because we're kind of changing things around. We're moving and shaking and doing all kinds of fun stuff. So if you are a fan of the show, then just follow it and you'll always get that. I'll also tell you that there is a link on the show page it goes to Apple iTunes. You can get the show on as a podcast. You can get the most recent 300 shows, you know, because you know you want to go back and listen to all 300 because you've got that much time in your day to do that. But it archives up to the most recent 300 shows, and I'll encourage you to go back and do that if you'd like to take me on the run with you. Now, without further ado, it is always my pleasure and honor to talk to this young man, Dr. Ralph Mayer. Ralph, how are you, and welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. It's like we're having breakfast or something like that.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, my God. So are you eating breakfast today, or are you doing anything for, you know, to fill your belly?
Not this minute. It's a little early for me. I have my little morning routine.
What is
your
morning
routine? I am having coffee, though.
I've got my coffee, too.
Oh, you do? Okay, good.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I have a little morning routine that I do.
Yeah, what is it?
Well, I get up, look at the little bit of the CNN, and then I get up and I start playing the piano and I sing. And I have one of my new ventures is called #BedheadKaraoke. So however I wake
God.
Up in the morning, I videotape myself singing karaoke. It's super fun.
You are out of control, even at 8 o'clock in the morning. Oh my gosh.
Well, and then I have the special doggy edition where I sing, like, love songs to my dog.
Ralph, oh, my God, what are we going to do with you? Okay, so I've known you
I want people to see who I really am, you know.
Yeah.
If I'm on a red carpet, Ralph, it's a lot of glam, but when I wake up in the morning, I'm just like everybody else.
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, when everybody wakes up in the morning, they are like everybody else. And sometimes, you know, I think that we love to buy into the illusion of what Hollywood is with all of the red carpets that everybody goes to, you know, around here. And, you know, because it's always so fun and fascinating. But it's, you know, you got your best paint on and hopefully you've dressed up in a nice pair of duds or something like that. And you look halfway decent. So anyway.
Well, and that's kind of actually this bedhead karaoke, I think, could be really fun if. You know, at some point it'd be great to pair it with some type of charity. But then, you know how they did the ice bucket challenge?
Yeah.
And so have bedhead karaoke and then just actually literally go into celebrities' homes first thing in the morning.
Oh.
You know, of course they know we're coming, but they're not allowed
to get
up or put on any makeup, and they get to sing a karaoke song right as they wake up in bed. It'd be really funny.
You might be onto something with that, Ralph. That's a great idea.
Well, it's taken from James Corden's. You know, he does that carpool karaoke.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, but this is bedhead. It's pretty funny. People seem to be responding to it.
I've seen a couple of shows doing like in bed with so-and-so, you know, and I've always thought that was fun. But of course, everybody's like all glammed up and, you know, super prepared. And, you know, you don't have a hair out of place and the makeup's all on the right way. It'd
be
so
that's
much
not
better
the point.
To see. Yeah, exactly.
Super fresh.
Super fresh, super raw and unedited.
Raw. Exactly.
Oh, my God.
That's really funny.
I love that. So okay, so everybody who's listening tonight, I know Ralph, and I think he's just a super guy. But if you've not heard of Ralph before, shame on you. But Ralph, before we start talking about all your projects and all the really cool stuff that you're doing, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, Ralph Mayer. I am a doctor. I'm a physician. I'm a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist. And I have a specialty in that called urogynecology. So I do pelvic surgery and bladder control for women mostly. It really affects women that have had children. Not always, but most of the time. And then I'm board certified in OBGYN. So I delivered a lot of babies, thousands of babies over the years, but I haven't done a delivery for about 7 or 8 years now. And I focus on the pelvic surgery for women. So it's part of my work. The other part of my work is I have clinics for low-income women and children. I have 3 locations for that. One's Midtown LA. One's in a community southeast of Los Angeles called Huntington Park. And then there's another clinic that we're it's not open yet, but we're planning. We have the space, but we're planning that, and that's in Compton.
So what prompted you to go from Beverly Hills to Compton from a service standpoint?
You know, it's just how I function. I like to have a lot of burners lit all the time. So I tend to get, my attention span is limited. So I like to have a bunch of things that I do. And so it just kind of fits to, you know, the clinic service low-income women and children. And that's like a wonderful aspect of what I do. And then when I take care of women in Beverly Hills, it's a totally different you know, it's the
right.
same stuff, but it's just different, and it allows me to explore different avenues and provide service to a wide variety of people.
So has service been always something that has been, you know, part of your DNA? Were you, you know, a Boy Scout growing up? What did you help, you know, people across the street? What, how did you decide, you know, growing up that, boy, I want to be in a service where, you know, I'm helping, you know, women of all different varieties of, you know, socioeconomic backgrounds?
Yeah, I think doing good is something that's extremely important to me, and it was interesting. One of the reasons, I think it's directly connected, one of the reasons that I didn't come out for a while, I didn't come out until I was 35, was because I didn't, the way I was raised, I didn't feel like I could have a worthwhile life and give as a physician and give to the community as a gay person. And so that was kind of the biggest barrier that I had to overcome. Was
wow.
to realize that I could do all these things and be gay. They are okay, and they are connected, and they can coexist.
And I find that so interesting because you know, if I think of going to a doctor, I really don't think about their sexuality at all. Do you think that, I mean, was that a big concern for what you think your patients were going to react if they knew? Or, I mean, why do you think that was such a thing for you? Because when I meet you, I'm like, I can't picture you any other way than just being who you are today, which is spectacular.
Oh, thank you very much. I don't know. I think it was a misconception. You know, I think sometimes we walk around with what we feel is truth in our head,
mm-hmm.
and it's not necessarily true. You know, your truth and my truth could be true for each of us, but could be vastly different. And I think that was the issue. It just was a misconception that I had in my head.
So when you wanted to go to medical school, Ralph, why did you decide gynecology? I mean, because, you know, you could have picked ears, nose, throat, and, you know, here you – I mean, because it's the same question I'd ask any doctor. Why did you pick an eyeball to, you know, specialize in? But why did you specialize in you know, the female form?
Well, I wanted to be a plastic surgeon.
Oh.
And I did my surgery rotation at UCLA. I was a medical student at UCLA, and the surgeons were just mean. Like, I saw a surgeon throw a scalpel across the room, and they were mean to nurses, and I just didn't fit in that group.
No.
And I think when you look at doctor groups, there's definitely personality types that go with the different specialties. And I just really fit with OBGYN. And it's kind of a great thing because being out gay gynecologist makes a lot of sense. It's really comfortable for women. I spend my day communicating with women, which is super nice and easy. And I always say my work life is kind of like living a soap opera, because women tell me, you know, very intimate details about their bodies and their lives and,
sure,
you know, their social situations and stuff like that. So it's a nice fit.
Well, you're almost at the, you know, you're almost at the opposite end of the spectrum from a hairdresser. You know, you go into the hairdresser and they're cutting your hair and massaging your scalp and, you know, you're getting the hair dyed and curled and permed and, you know, they tell you all the deep, dark secrets, and then you're at the other end of that. So,
right, but the same
surprising.
Thing. It's really basically the same. You know, people tell, you know, they trust you and they tell you a lot of their intimate details, which are important. And I, for my work, especially working with vaginal rejuvenation and bladder work, you know, women have to, you know, there's not a lot of time. So when they meet me, they need to make a quick assessment whether they, you know, want to trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they tell me, you know, it's not comfortable for a woman to walk into anybody and say, you know, when I cough, I leak urine.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really uncomfortable, difficult conversation. So, you know, I want them to be as comfortable as possible.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge that women health issues are facing today, as a society in general, since you represent a large background and diverse, you know, population that you help today?
Well, I think clearly access to care is important, but in California, the state does provide a lot of access to care. I think the biggest challenge, I've called this the WOW, War on Women, is women are facing a really difficult time in the medical structure right now because of screening protocols. And they, air quotes, whoever they are setting screening, in my opinion, screening requirements that are far too distant. Like the mammogram screenings has changed, and specifically pap smear screening. Pap smears save women's lives. They prevent cervical cancer. They catch cervical cancers early when they're treatable. And now they are recommending that the pap smears be no shorter than 3 years and up to 5 years apart. And I just think it's too long. And mammogram screenings, the current recommendation, it changes all the time. You know, it's every other year from 40. And, you know, a mammogram is delivering some radiation, so I can understand spacing that out a little bit more. But the pap smear does nothing. It's a very benign test. There's no damage done. There's no risk to it. And I think 5 years is way too far. So I think that's a challenge women is facing right now, is that there's a lot of theys that are changing these screening protocols that I just don't think are right. And I tell a lot of my patients now, even if, you know, you can't, insurance won't pay for that pap, I think you should get it anyways.
So, and, you know, I hear, well, you know, I'm hardly an expert on women's health. I mean, if there was a scale of 1 to 1,000, I would be a negative 50, but, you know, you hear on the news where they're talking about for women for mammograms, they're saying, you know, now you can do it every 10 years or, you know, they're trying to space the years out. And I'm guessing that's, you know, and same with the pap smears, it's all about billable revenue, you know, and
who's
going to pay it.
Well, it's kind of, it's about revenue. And, you know, doctors, we have ethical standards that we have to abide by. So we can't, like, you know, I can't recommend, you know, over-screening and stuff like that. The issue is, are you finding things that don't need to be dealt with? That's the problem with excess screening, if that makes sense. So, you know, if you're picking up things too earlier, women are, like with a mammogram, some women are getting, you know, biopsies that don't necessarily need it. So that's that's the balance between the screening is over-treating
things that don't need to be treated.
What's that?
Where is that fine line? How do you say as a physician, well, today I crossed the line and now we're doing too much?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's every doctor has to make that decision. You know, like what my thing, when I recommend surgery to a patient, I really want to recommend something that they need, that they understand, that they want. So after we do the procedure, they're not like, oh, why'd you do that? You know?
Right.
But, you know, if a woman's leaking urine and I can fix that, it's, you know, we've done something pretty amazing that really changes their life.
Okay, can I ask a really silly question? Because I don't understand this at all. Because, you know, you're talking about fixing leaking urine here. And I see these commercials on TV with fake copper pipes, talking about fixing bladder issues and things like that. What do the pills do that are different from like a surgical procedure? Because that, you know, the leaky pipe thing on TV looks kind of cool because they did it in an animation, and everybody knows if it's in a cartoon, it must be true.
That's right. There's two, I mean, technically there's two ways women leak urine. One is when they leak with cough and sneeze, it's called stress incontinence, and that's typically something that's treated surgically that can't be treated with medication. And then there's another called urge incontinence, where a woman leaks when she more spontaneously, or if she's in the frozen food aisle, or she's, you know, walking in the front door. It's called the key in the lock syndrome, and then they leak spontaneously without exerting pressure. That's typically treated with medication, and that could be made worse with surgery. So when I evaluate patients, it's really important to tease that out and make sure that you're treating the right disease.
Well, there we go. Do you want to talk about healthcare some more?
Whatever you want. I'm well versed in.
I know. You could talk about it all. Okay, for anybody who's wanting to talk about medicine with Dr. Ralph or female healthcare, Ralph, where would you like people to find you? Because we're going to switch gears and talk about all the fun stuff now.
Okay, cool. So that website's called RalphMayerMD.com.
There we go. So RalphMayerMD.com. If you are in the Southern California area and want to go see a handsome doctor and have him give you good advice, RalphMayerMD.com is the place to go. Okay, now we're switching gears. So you've had this brilliant medical career. You help thousands and thousands of women every single year. When did you say, you know what, I think I'm going to sing a show tune?
Well, the singing happened quite a while ago. The singing was something I was born with. I actually sang before I spoke. And then I stopped many, many years ago. I restarted singing, and I had the transition actually happened 2 years ago. August will be 2 years. I had a voice coach who was very demanding, and it just wasn't working, wasn't getting it, and he wanted me to get more drama in my voice and my singing, and so I said, fine, I'll just take acting classes. So I started taking acting classes at Brian Reese Studios with Elizabeth McDonald about 2 years ago, and it was really funny because they had an orientation, and I'm sitting at the orientation in the audience, and I raised my hand, and I said, is it okay if somebody's here just to work on their voice? I didn't want to act. I just wanted to work on my singing. And they're like, sure, sure, no problem. So I started in class, and the first night we did class was casting night, where they teach you how to go into a casting session and audition. And then the second night was, the next week was on camera, and I was like, oh, I love this. So I put a website up on LA Casting, and I just started sending myself out for student films. And I booked six student films pretty quickly.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. I shot those, and then I was like, oh, I don't want to do student films anymore. So I branched out and it's been really interesting. I've done quite a bit of work in a very short period of time.
Well, because when I take a look at you, and if anybody hasn't seen Ralph, you need to go to Facebook and find him on his Facebook page. Go to his website. There's also a link to his YouTube channel, Keeping Up with Ralph, that is to die for. We're going to talk about all of that in just a little bit. But, you know, Ralph, you're a handsome guy. So to think that, you know, you're just going to sing a song, and I don't mean to discount that in any way, but you just have such a natural look in front of the camera to be, you know, the leading man, to be in, you know, these big national commercials, to be in a, you know, $50 billion movie. So I when I first saw you on Child of the 70s, I go, who is that actor? He's like, you know, Steve Stunning, leading man. You know, he should be in all these major motion pictures. So to hear that you just really I just want to work on my voice is kind of funny to me, because that's not what I would think when I see you at all.
Well, thank you. But it's true. I don't know. And then I didn't really want to act. I mean, I didn't know that. It's not that I didn't want to. I just didn't really get that.
Right.
And and it's been really fun. And go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, you know, cause you love to sing and play the piano, and I guess we'll get back to the acting since we're going to talk about music here, but you brilliantly play the piano. Are you self-taught? Did you take lessons for that?
Again, I did it as a very young person, and then I stopped. And then as an adult, I've taken lessons on and off, and I now have connected with a really amazing, piano teacher. Teachers for me, I work really well with teachers who are I don't know if you ever saw that movie Whiplash about the drumming student.
I don't remember.
He's got J.K. Simmons won the Academy Award for playing the teacher that like abuses him. And I think there's another line. I think there's a line between teaching somebody and then being abusive when you teach them. And I created a Whiplash scale from 0 to 10. And I like people that are in the 0 to 2 range. So they're honest and they teach me, but they're gentle, you know?
Right.
And so my acting coach, Elizabeth, is like that. My piano teacher, Jen, is like that. My new voice coach, Bob, is like that. Where, they're helpful, and they're really honest, and they don't let me get away with, not performing well, but they do it in a nice way. I think there's my director's like that too, Cassandra. She's, she's just gentle with me, and I like that. That, works for me. I don't do with mean very well. But, so the piano, I have a great instructor now, and that's been progressing. It's interesting musically that everything, all of those aspects seem to be progressing quite well right now. And I'd stopped, once I started acting, I stopped singing for a while. And now I'm back doing it I trained with Bob Korff. He's real big in Hollywood. He's like the go-to guy mostly for accents. He teaches, he'll teach people how to get an accent or take an accent away. But he's also a voice coach, and he does that for me.
Yeah, well, your personality is a very soft touch, so I can't imagine you doing really well with like a CrossFit boot camp type of instructor on any level. I don't have the patience for this.
I agree.
Isn't it funny that we all have different ways that we respond? I mean, I can respond to somebody who's a boot camp instructor depending upon the situation because I'm just like, okay, that's their gimmick. That's what they got to do. Okay, fine. But in my heart of hearts, I really don't want to deal with that nonsense. I want to deal with that on the Whiplash scale of 1 to 10. I want to deal with a 0, 1, or a 2.
Right. Totally. You're a gentle person too. And I think that I just don't learn well that way. It just doesn't work for me. I kind of shut down.
Right. And, but that's been the way I think in across life in all of my different incarnations, I do really well with people who are like, that might not be the best way, but, here's what I might recommend. Let's try this again, and they do it very softly. I'm like, okay, I can do that. They believe in me. This is great. But when it,
well, no, if anyone
what
says that's wrong,
what is going on in your life that makes you do that?
Well, if someone says that's wrong, it's like, no, it's not wrong. There are other ways.
There are other ways. Oh, my God. What's been one of the worst experiences you've had with a training instructor?
Oh, my God. I had this it was an acting coach, and he was a young guy. My younger son was acting and singing. It was one of his coaches, and I was at his apartment, and he was prepping me for an audition scene. I was doing an audition for a student film down at USC, which has an amazing program. It was so weird. He was trying to teach me something, and I still to this day could never really figure it out. And instead of working on the
doctor.
Scene, this was really strange. He turned up the volume on his TV super loud, and he threw some keys in a corner, and he was like, he didn't tell me what to do. He just started pointing, and then I figured it out. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to go get those keys. And it was like super loud, and it was just like, it was so bizarre. And he was trying to teach me something, and we talked about it a little bit, and then he said he actually had an acting coach. He was perpetuating this thing. He had an acting coach who was teaching him through a scene, and his coach actually picked him up and physically threw him into the wall so he would understand that emotion. okay, it was not good.
I'm going to tell you here, Ralph, that I could probably understand the emotion of beating my head against a brick wall, but I don't actually have to do it to, emote that. I'm just,
exactly.
That's a wild guess. Oh, my God.
But, it's part of the learning process, too, of where do I want to learn and where do I want to be and where do I want to place myself in, and I like to put myself in safe situations.
Yeah. Well,
And when you have a teacher, you're putting yourself in their hands. You want to know that they're teaching you, the right stuff and how to grow. I want to know that my teacher's intent is good.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
my heart's beating fast.
you're trying to, you know, be, you know, your best, you know, learning sponge so you can soak it all up. And then, you know, yeah. getting beaten up or yelled at, just, you know, I'm just like, I don't understand. Anyway, well,
no, that's,
so
if, from no, a, that was perfect from, reference to sponge. It was really good.
Yeah. So when you are taking singing lessons, do you specialize in a style or a genre? I think you kind of like country music, but you
yeah.
probably, you know, learn across the borders. What's been really fun for you from a learning perspective in the last year or two?
Well, I love country music, which I think is, I like comedy. Like, I'm a comedian, it turns out. And one of the funny things I think is, like, me, I was singing country karaoke for a while at Flaming Saddles in West Hollywood. And it's just funny because I just go in dressed as me and I start singing country. And I don't think those two things, you know, I'm not wearing flannel
and
a cowboy hat, you know. And I just happen to love country music. It just really resonates with me. The story resonates with me. And I've been mostly singing country ballads. And then on the other hand, I sing show tunes, and my younger son always laughs at me because I sing girl songs. So I, like, right now I'm working on Memory from Cats.
Sure.
And I do several songs from Les Mis on my own. I can't think of the name of it right now, the one that Susan Boyle did for I Dreamed a Dream.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's really good, and it's great. And Bob, my new voice coach, had to do a lot of, basically, like, eliminating a lot of stuff. Like, I was doing a lot of singing in a way, you're a big singer, you understand this. I was singing in a way that I thought I was supposed to, as opposed to just being me. And what's really coming out, and my piano teacher is a voice coach also, so she works with me some, and you can hear who I am now. Like, I'm not making up a voice. It's just actually mm-hmm. my voice. And I think that's, I'm going to switch for a second. It was really interesting. Growing up, I never liked my voice. And now when I hear my voice and I see myself on film and I listen, you know, I record myself a lot and I play it back, I love my voice now. And that's probably been the most rewarding thing of the whole process, to actually find my true voice and then actually enjoy it and like it.
So can you give me an example of your fake, unauthentic, super pretend Ralph Mayer voice from before?
No, I don't think so. I think once you learn something, you can't unlearn it. So I don't even
right.
know. I'm just
right,
myself
right.
now. It was funny in acting, when I started acting class too, Elizabeth would, for the first few weeks, she's like, stop acting voice. You're doing acting voice. And I'm like, I don't know what acting voice is. But the opposite of acting voice is, I'll be on Runyon on a trail with a friend and I'll do a line from whatever I'm working on. And they'll look at me like I was really saying that. And I'm like, no, that was a line. And then I know I've done my authentic voice.
Oh.
Like, it's just me talking.
Yeah.
Which
well,
is,
I can't picture you trying to do, like, radio voice or, you know, anything else. It's just,
hello.
It's like, Ralph, what are you doing? Stop. You know, oh, my goodness. Well, we're halfway through the show, folks. If you want to call in and ask Dr. Ralph a question or Hollywood Ralph a question, we've got the phone lines open. I've got a bunch of you that have called in, but unless you press the one on your keypad, it just looks like you're calling in. And I've learned from experience that unless you press the number one, you don't want to be bothered. You just want to listen on your phone. So I'll leave you alone. We're going to take a real quick commercial break from our friends at Rainbow Brew, and then we're going to be right back with more of Dr. Ralph Mayer. More about Hollywood and more about all the cool stuff he does.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of The Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
I've got a couple new ads that Rainbow Brew sent over to start putting into the visual of their ad. So you'll see that in the coming days when I start programming all of that stuff in. But really fun folks out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. And if you've ever wondered how in the world can you get good coffee grown locally in Minneapolis, St. Paul, because it's a frozen tundra, I don't know, but they do it. They've given me samples of the coffee, and I will tell you, it will knock your socks off. So if you go to rainbowbrew.com and order some coffee, actually, if you go to their Facebook page and like it, you will get some like dollar off coupons and things like that. But if you go to their website, order the coffee, get your coupon codes, all the good stuff, and tell them you heard them here on the show, they actually do a Rated G Radio Happy Dance right there in the shop as they're grinding your beans before they send them out. So please do that and help support a local LGBT small business out of Minneapolis, St. Paul. We appreciate their support and patronage. We're joined today by Ralph Mayer. He is the king of Hollywood. And we're talking about his career in the medical field, but more importantly, what he's doing now creatively that feeds his soul. We've talked to him a little bit about singing and playing the piano. I want to talk a bunch about acting, but before I do that, Ralph, you were talking about the fact that you do this wake up karaoke, or I'm going to call it the wrong thing. I was writing down karaoke and then I forgot to write the rest of it down. Bedhead karaoke. Which you need to get that website locked down today.
I know I do.
So what would be an example of a song that you've sung recently on Bedhead Karaoke?
Well, I did recently Memory, and I always tell people it's a work in progress. It's a practice piece, but I did that while plunking away the notes on the piano. Mm-hmm. And then the most recent doggy edition was If Tomorrow Never Comes. It's a country song. So because my other hashtag is hashtag gay sings country. And so I always change the words to be for man on man. So If Tomorrow Never Comes, Will He Know? They're written for women typically, to be sung
sure.
to women. So I change it to man, like male pronouns.
And, and one of the things that I love about you, Ralph, is that you have no self-consciousness about anything that you do. It's like, oh, let's sing a song. And, if it sounds great, it sounds great. And, if it's interesting, it's interesting. And for me, it's like, I will sing in a controlled environment. It will sound exactly perfect. And, so I'm like, I'm not doing karaoke. Don't ask me to do an impromptu, whatever. The stars have to be in alignment and everything has to be perfect. And you're like, come on, let's just do it. And
what's really been interesting for me, especially with singing, because singing was something that I only did very privately, is social media has given me a way to put it out there in a way that feels safe. But mm-hmm. I want to put it out there like when it's not perfect, and then if it evolves and people are like, oh my God, you've gotten so much better, that would be rewarding to me.
Sure.
I want to let people in on the process, because it's been a real process for me, and my songs aren't perfect, and that's part of the bedhead karaoke. I'm not perfect, I wake up with bedhead, and it's like I love that about me that I'm willing to put the imperfections out there,
and it just makes you more human,
that's the point. It's human, and I think I am evolving, and if I can show people that evolution, I think that's pretty cool too.
Well, that's exactly what you do. And, you are so upfront and honest about it. And I think that is so charming because so many people, like myself, only do this if it's in the exact right circumstances. And I actually learned from you that, it is okay to let people just, see you who you are, because they will still like you. They will probably like you more.
Like you more. Well, your songs are amazing, so.
Yeah, but they're very well produced. So,
great,
if you want to
hear,
the original tracks when we were doing this, we can get some cats run out of town quick. So, so what shows up is, that's well produced. Anyway, but let's talk about your YouTube channel, because we'll get to acting probably the last segment, everybody who's tuned in. So if you want to hear about Ralph's acting, we are going to get to that, I promise. But you have this fantastic YouTube channel, and you've got this fun song that you have put out recently. Do you want to tell us about that?
My coming out song?
Yes,
yeah,
coming
it was
out.
Super fun. So the YouTube channel Keeping Up With Ralph was really by doing my own content and my own short films, I'm able to, express myself. And the YouTube channel is just all different aspects of my life in short format. And the video, my coming out song, was an adjunct to my movie called Coming Out to My Wife.
Mm-hmm.
And coming out to my wife had done well, and we got really good response. I thought, I don't know, it was so strange. I woke up one morning, it was part of my morning routine. I woke up one morning, I'm like, I need to do a music video. So my producer, co-writer, Cassandra Hine, and I we actually bought the music, but then we wrote all the lyrics. And then we just wanted to do something super outrageous with it, and just, it's my coming out song. Hence the video, yeah. Which is me in a whole bunch of different really interesting and provocative outfits.
Yeah, so if you want to go see a fun video, and what the song's only a minute and a half or a minute 47 long, so it's not, you know, it's perfect for the hipsters out there that can't watch anything over 2 minutes long. So for a minute and 47, you can go to Ralph Mayer's YouTube channel called Keeping Up with Ralph. Subscribe to that, by the way, because his content
please.
Is hysterical. And then go watch the My Coming Out song. The thumbnail alone is worth the price of admission. So
with
you
me
must
and leather.
Do that, folks. And you know, but you also, you know, one of the things that I admire about what you do is that you don't mind, you know, kind of poking fun at yourself along the way. And I think that makes the character of Ralph Mayer in your movies very endearing. Is that is that intentional?
Well, thank you, first of all, very much. It really is who I am, you know, and it's different parts of who I am. And I like to work with one of my favorite actresses and a very close friend, Lynelle Scott. I love working with her because she's the reason that you know that I'm either crazy or I'm funny. You know, I've learned it's just I'm myself in whatever situation, and then it's the response from the actors that are working with me where you realize what's actually going on. Like in casting in LA, you don't know if I'm crazy or, you know, what's going on. But when you watch the expression on everybody around me, that's the key, I think.
Well, let's talk about your mini movies that you are putting out there. And, you know, because, again, my familiarity with you is with Child of the 70s. We'll talk about that in just a second.
Yeah.
But one of the first videos that I saw that you put out, and this is out, I don't know, about 5 months ago, it's called Coming Out to My Wife. And I'm telling you, I laughed through the whole thing. But there's, you know, even in the most poignant moments, there is deep humor in this. And I had to rewatch it like 3 times in a row because I kept laughing so hard I kept missing the lines. Where do you, I mean, and this probably, you know, I always say, you know, how much of this is, you know, true to life? Do you have any, you know, reality that, you know, you infused into this particular video?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a fiction, but I was married for 10 years and this character was married for 25. A lot of what Lynelle does in it, she plays my wife, is based on what I was able to convey to her about, you know, it's a very traumatic event coming out in divorce, and my ex-wife and I were best friends for 13 years. So that's actually why we end the movie as we're still best friends. The most poignant part of the movie for me actually happened. I didn't understand why we were making this movie until we were making the movie, and Lynelle just gets total acceptance that she's like, oh, you're gay.
And because she didn't get it for like the longest time.
You know, and yeah. And then I actually cried on set in that moment because I understood why I made that particular movie in that moment. And it was all about acceptance. That's the whole movie is about acceptance. And we do make it funny, but and I appreciated your comments. You know, it's a very serious topic.
I got a lot
of comments from people on this piece, and it was basically what you just said. They're like, this is great. It's funny. And you kept it. It's serious enough that you know that we're not like, you know, making total fun of it because it's a really serious, difficult thing to go through.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's it, you know, because it's well done, which from a handling the topic standpoint, so I don't want to diminish the topic, so we're not trying to do that at all, but it is so, I don't know, I just wish, you know, we would have something on, you know, network TV, like a movie of the week, or remember when we used to have movies of the week, the Sunday night movie on ABC?
That you'd have to sit in front of because we couldn't record anything.
Right. You know, and you had 3 channels, maybe 4 if you're in a big market or something like that. But
some of the, I mean, in making the movie, some of the most funny, poignant things were, because we basically, the way I do movie making is you know, we do use a short format, which, you know, 5 minutes is a lot of time. You can really tell a big story.
Mm-hmm.
But we basically create the character, and then we just let the characters do whatever they're going to do. So I wouldn't call it improvised, but it is in a way.
Yeah.
And, like, one of the best things in the movie for me was the whole strawberry connection where Lynelle,
oh my
like,
gosh.
chucks the strawberries and I give the strawberry to the guy instead of to her. And
right.
Literally on my way out to location, we filmed that over at the Whatley Mansion next to Runyon. And I was literally on my way out the door and I grabbed frozen strawberries out of the freezer. And they became a huge part of the movie.
Yeah.
And that movie just, there was a lot of synergy and things that just came together. And Sean Zerbe, who plays the love interest, we actually connected with him the night before on Facebook. So it was just like, it really came together nicely. And it was, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, what goes, can you kind of, since I don't understand any of these things, I just kind of like, okay, that was really cool because now we have a video that's 6 minutes long. This must have taken like about an hour to film. You know, so what's involved, you know,
because we used two locations at the mansion, and then we mm-hmm. used a location at Sunset 5 by the Starbucks there where Crunch Gym is, and then we used my house. So it was four locations, it's about an hour a minute. That one took us about 6 to 7 hours, maybe a little less, about an hour a minute ish.
That's
it depends
not bad.
On locations. It depends on how the filming goes. I spoil myself, and we do two cameras for most of the shoot. So we hire an extra DP, and using the two cameras, you can get a lot more shots at one time. So you only have to redo the scenes several times. And I do want to make a plug for Cassandra Hine, who's my co-writer, producer, editor. She always makes me look really fantastic. So
she's awesome.
I'm always waiting in anticipation for, you know, after we film, for when the piece comes out. And it's kind of a magical moment to watch it for the first time. It's really interesting.
Well, so when you got this idea that came into your head and said, I'm going to make this video, from the time that you had this in your head until it was actually out on YouTube, how long of a process was that for you? What's involved in the planning to make this successful? Because you seem to be a person that would be very detail oriented. So when, you know, you get on set, you're not wasting a lot of time.
Yeah. We like to film very quickly. And Cassandra is the director on set, and she's, mm-hmm. she's amazing to work with. She's the kind that never is like, you're wrong. Let's try this. Let's try that. It's several months. You know, we have, like right now we're working on a new video. We have to plan at least a month out. So we usually do one or two production meetings heading into it. And then, you know, we have to book it out so we can get everybody's time, who's going to be on set. And then, then we just spend time, and not a lot of it's written down. It's just, it's kind of the evolutions in my head, and I rely on Cassandra. I like to have good people around me that I know are going to do a really good job, and Cassandra's got this amazing work ethic. And so it's kind of the team now we have is Cassandra and me and Linnell. I want Linnell in every one of my movies because she's amazing to work with. And
so
she and I have really
kind
good
of
chemistry
like
together.
A Vulcan mind meld at this point, so you know you guys
yeah.
are kind of
no,
on the
exactly.
same page.
Yeah. We know what we're doing. We know how it's going to flow. And again, it's like trust. It's faith. You know, it's knowing that it's going to turn into something. And you don't really know. I always get a little moody the day before a shoot because I'm like doubting, and it's an interesting process.
Even now, you still have that.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because you don't know what the next one's, what it's going to be like, and are people going to like it? Is it going to be, you know, I don't want to waste my time. I want to do something that people really like. But honestly, you know, we tell, it's my truth, and we do it in a funny way, but it's still, and I guess, you know, even after all the planning and doing everything for the coming out movie, like I didn't even understand it until that one moment. You know, towards the end of the day where she was in total acceptance. And I guess it's like what you said. I like to just, throw it out there. You know, I want to do it in a good way that, you know, that's respectful, but I just, you know, I have an idea and I throw it out there and I get it done.
So you've got a couple of others that I just were peeing in my, I was glad I was wearing the pants and I didn't need surgery or, you know, a pill from a cartoon. But just pee in your pants, funny, is you got sex during pregnancy with Ralph Mayer and Emily Goldblum, and
yeah,
then
Goldblum,
dating in L.A. And so you've got a couple of others that are out there right now that are just side splitters. How did you decide that these were going to be other topics you wanted to cover?
Well, the first one that we actually, that was the first short we ever did was the sex during pregnancy And that was a connection with Cassandra, and she knows Emily. Emily is Jeff Goldblum's wife, and they were pregnant with his first baby. And we just had this crazy concept of doing this piece about, you know, and it would connected me to doctor because I play a doctor in that one. And yeah, that was really funny. And then we did the Dating in LA, which I think is really funny.
I loved it.
Thank you. The one that I like love is the casting in LA, because it really is what it's like when you go on casting calls.
Yeah.
And in that one, Olivier Del Fuente gets hired because he has a viral sex video.
Yeah.
And we're making fun of all that stuff, you know, casting, the whole casting process, and, you know, and then the whole, you know, the issue with the scandals with sex tapes and all that kind of stuff.
Now, with the casting in LA, is this going to be kind of like a continuing saga? When would we
That's
kind
such
of
a
see
good question.
More?
That was the concept. So it's that one from Dating in LA, it's the same character. And we put him in a casting call, and then the next he gets the part. We have it planned. We just haven't committed to it yet. Where then he's on set, and my point was going to be this character is really out of touch, and he's got one line in a movie, but he's going to be like we actually filmed this sequence already with him getting ready with his whole routine, injecting himself with Botox. And then it would be him on set where he shows up in a full stretch limo with an entourage for his one line.
For the one
movie.
Line. Yeah.
But it's a bigger production because we would need a lot of extras. We would need an actual set to film on. So it's something we would love to do. It's just it's a much bigger production. So we're not committed to it yet. But that storyline would be very funny to continue.
I think you've got something there, and I hope that we see more of the Casting in LA series. So from other acting standpoint that are not your projects – oh, by the way, so if you want to go check out any of that, go to YouTube, but you can also go to ralphmayerhollywood.com for all of the fun stuff that is going to be keeping you in stitches for the rest of the day. Outside of your own projects, Ralph, what have you been working on? I know that you were in Child of the 70s for 2 seasons. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, I did Child of the 70s, which is at the original childofthe70s.com. Was super fun. I had a real small part in season 3. I play a receptionist in a doctor's office. And that's the other thing is I don't want to be typecast as a doctor, so we do a lot of other things. So I was a receptionist in the doctor's office. And then in season 4, it's the same character. His name's Harold. He's a receptionist. And my character kidnaps Susan Olsen, who was the original Cindy Brady in the Brady Bunch.
How crazy is that?
It's super fun. And I hold her hostage throughout her entire pregnancy. And then I don't want to give too much of it away. It's out there so people can watch it, but it's super funny. And then she and I actually we form a connection.
There's a bond that happens later on.
Yeah. And I kidnap her because I'm a receptionist at the doctor's office, but I'm a wannabe actor and she's a big Hollywood agent. So I kidnap her because I want her to sign me as a client and get me work.
Isn't that funny? Cause that kind of happens all the time.
You know, yeah, people, I've seen people, like, I'll be at lunch and I'll see people meet other people and they have their, well, I guess in now these days people don't, but this was a few years ago where the person had their reel on a CD and handed it to, I don't even remember who that was, some famous director or actor. It was really funny, but you never know who you're going to meet wherever.
Well, you never, so how is, you know, because you're involved in a lot. What have you found to be your secret for landing roles and getting parts besides writing a check? Because, you know, sometimes we write checks and that's just the nature of the business. I've done that. Other people have done it. But, you know, from a, you know, audition standpoint, things like that, what's worked really well for you?
Well, you know, like you said, I'm right now, I'm mostly working on my own content and just really in my head trying to be and create this the Ralph Mayer Hollywood as a character, as a person.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of posting that's really specific to that particular, you know, he's an out gay actor guy in LA. But I have agents. I'm with the Lovestone Agency. Jamie Love is my agent. And they send me out for a lot of commercial castings. I go out for a lot of national ads. Haven't booked one yet. I'm new actor. And I'm really, you know, I limit my expectations of exactly, you know, what I am and what I'm going to get. But I'm really focusing on just working on my craft. I work, like I said, I'm a student at Brian Reese Studios with Elizabeth McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also started this other really fascinating acting class. I work with a guy named Sal Landy. He's done quite a bit of work. And he has a class that I do on Tuesday evenings. And it's like a scene study class, but we actually, you have about 30 minutes to read and create a character in, we do like full scenes from plays and movies. Like I did this scene last week from a movie called, yeah, it's amazing. I did a scene from a movie called The Big Knife.
Okay.
And I was actually able to, I love technology now because I was actually able to find the movie and see the scene that I did. And it's Jack Palance. I don't know if you remember Jack Palance.
He did the
push-up on the... Yeah. Academy Awards when he won his Academy Award.
With Billy Crystal, yeah.
City Slickers. And so he was the star of this. And it was just so cool to see the scene done live. But, yeah, we're doing 12 to 14-minute scenes on stage with basically 30 minutes preparation.
Your
paper with you so you can look down and grab your lines, but you have to deliver the lines. It's really intense.
So from an acting standpoint,
Between work, I just keep myself active and I like my morning routine. I do my singing and I do my piano and I study my acting and go out for auditions. You know, you don't know when whatever is going to happen is going to happen. So I just keep myself real active and interested. And I've been reading, because of that scene study class, I've been reading a lot more plays. I Googled the 10 top gay plays. And I'm in the middle of reading the Harvey Fierstein's Torch Song trilogy.
Wow.
And
that's
kind of amazing. Yeah. It's fun. Go ahead.
As an actor here, Ralph, do you have a hard time memorizing lines?
Not particularly. Mm-mm.
What's your process in going through a script, and do you memorize the entire script or just your parts?
No, I just memorize my parts and then the key triggers that are going to make my character speak. You know, I want to know what the person says for me to initiate.
Okay.
But it's been interesting. When I first started acting, it was really about reading the lines. And I'd go on auditions and I'd get feedback that I was eating paper, they call it. So it was just my whole face was in the lines instead of like acting. And now it's really about creating, understanding the motivations of the role, like what is his motivation, like why is he saying what he's saying, and then you can create a character that is real because you understand them, like I understand the motivation of the person. And
sure.
It's been a real evolution in my audition class that I do with Elizabeth. It's a page of dialogue, and a page of dialogue is, you know, we have about 30 minutes to prepare for that. It's much shorter, but you try to memorize all of that copy, which is, makes it a little bit easier because it's about listening. You know, the major part of acting is listening. You want to hear what the person's saying and understand their intent so that you can, you know, if somebody that I'm acting with says, "Why are you so mad?" Well, I have to look mad. You know, I have to be responding to what they're saying too.
Right.
Or if they say, "Don't overreact," well, I have to have some big overreaction, you know, that they're responding to. So it's a lot listening, it's a lot reacting, and then actually saying your lines is not the biggest part of it.
So what's been the biggest challenge for you as a newer actor in Hollywood?
Forgiving myself.
Commercially,
I go out and I get a lot of auditions and I've been getting a lot of callbacks. I haven't booked one, and it's just, you know, being that's okay. That's actually really funny because then a few months go by and I'll actually see the commercial on TV And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I could have done that. And I know that I could do that. You know, it was just a preference. They wanted somebody with red hair or, you know, whatever. But, yeah, it's understanding that I am new. Elizabeth has been wonderful with me on that. She, you know, anxiety is normal. Nerves are normal when you go into an audition. And then, you know, I'm new. So I treat myself – it's really I just treat myself as a new actor and limit my expectations.
So that must help you sleep easier at night. So as we get ready to wrap up here, Ralph, what would you like to leave your adoring fans with as a parting gift of knowledge?
That's interesting. Just to live your dream. And I'm really proud of myself. I'm a new actor. I'm going to be 52 this year. I did not realize that these opportunities were available to me. I had no idea that there would be work for somebody, you know, of my age range, and there is. And I think that it's like, this is my new plan. I want to do this for the next 10 years because I want to be the best. I want to be the go-to grandpa.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go out for commercials for grandpas where I walk in the room. Everyone's like, oh shit, we're not getting this.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it just live your dream and do it and put your shit out there no matter what. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
You know, and let people, I think I want to let people observe the process of what I'm going through, and that's it. And also subscribe to my YouTube channel. You know, getting subscribers on YouTube, I can get a lot of followers on Instagram, but it's the subscribers on YouTube. That's real important.
So remind everybody where your YouTube channel is again.
So you can just search Ralph Mayer, and it's Keeping Up with Ralph. And then, on the Instagram, it's at rmdoc.
Cool.
And my website, ralphmayerhollywood.com. And, of course, I'm still a doctor, and I'm good at that, too, ralphmayermd.com.
There we go. All things Ralph. So go check him out.
All things Ralph.
Well, you know. Very
I
good.
Love it.
And, Ralph, thank you for taking time out of your day. I know you had a million other things you could be doing right now, so I'm grateful to you, and I wish you all the best. And I hope to get to see your smiling face very, very soon.
I hope so. It's been a while.
I know. It's been a hot minute. We've been busy. You've been busy. So
I know. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, my friend. Have a great day.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, again, that's Dr. Ralph Mayer, Ralph Mayer MD, or ralphmayerhollywood.com. Go check him out. And then we are going to be joined tomorrow by LJ Sellers. She is an author out of Eugene, Oregon. She'll be joining us at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for our time to talk about her new book. I've got it on iBook or something like that, and I'm starting that book tonight, I promise. So thank you, everybody, for being here today. It's a joy and pleasure to do a morning show with you. And if you like what you hear, tell your friends to tune in. I would love to hear from you. Tell me what's going on in your life today. Follow me on Facebook at The Garrett Miller. Friend me and, you know, send me a nice note, and I'll send you a note as well. Thanks to Tony G and Hackensack for tuning in today. And we will see you live on Tuesday morning. Here's a snippet of a new remix by Scott Lawrence that he did on my song Sweat and Testify.
Sweat.
Listening to Rated G Radio.